Do you remember your mom saying, or maybe your mom still says this to you, "Don't eat that cookie. It will spoil your appetite." Why do moms say that? Appetite. Isn't that just another word for hungry or hunger? Are mothers engaged in some worldwide conspiracy to keep kids hungry? Of course not. A good mother knows that the child who eats cookies and ice cream and that kind of junk food before dinner won't be interested in the meat and vegetables that a healthy body needs. So yes, mothers want their children to be hungry. Hungry for the right food at the right time. You see, hunger and thirst alert our bodies to a basic need. So God created us to feel a little pain in our stomach and for our mouth to get dry and our throats to get scratchy, and we need water. We need vitamins and the nutrients contained in those five basic food groups. Kids, are you learning about those five basic food groups in school, right? Can you name those? You know what they are? What are they? No? Boy, did you learn anything in school this first week of school? I'm sure you did. You got the meat, you got the vegetables, you got the fruit, you got bread, grain, and milk. And if you put it on that pyramid, you know, I went and looked at that to remember that little food pyramid with the food groups. And the base level, the one you need the most, is which one? It's the grain. Yeah, it's the grain. Well, bread is what you need the most. It's just interesting, perhaps. Hunger pains and thirst are good. Without them, we might not realize our need to eat and to drink the right kind of food and water to keep our bodies healthy. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Now, I thought about that, and I wondered, why didn't Jesus say, "Blessed are the righteous"? I mean, wouldn't that make more sense? That God blesses those who are righteous as opposed to those who, you know, are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Hunger implies a lack, right? It's a need. So if you hunger for righteousness, means you don't have it yet. Jesus turns our notions of God and righteousness and blessing and what He blesses kind of upside down on their heads. He blesses what most of us would curse. We don't think people who are physically hungry are blessed, do we? And see, Jesus here isn't talking, of course, about physical hunger and thirst. He's using that as a metaphor to help us to understand something about our souls. He's talking about a spiritual hunger and thirst, symptoms of an emptiness, an unfulfilled desire deep within us. How can hunger and thirst be a source of blessing? Well, according to Jesus, when we draw near to the kingdom of God, it's better to come empty than it is to come full. We're tempted to think that righteousness is the condition upon which God blesses us. If we are righteous, God blesses. But that's kind of like saying, you know, I'm not a very good person, so I probably should not go to church. I'm going to wait until I get my life together and sort of get everything in order and become a better person, then I'll go to church. Well, anybody who says that, I immediately know, hey, not going to see you at church, am I? Jesus says, righteousness is the blessing, hunger is the precondition. In Jesus' statement, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst," we hear this echo from the book of Isaiah, which is what Destin read in our call to worship. Remember that part in that call to worship? It's in your bulletin. It said, it's the prophet. He says, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare." We come to this place with a shared hunger that no earthly bread can satisfy. It's tempting to think that we can meet the deepest needs of our heart through worldly means. That's what our culture is all about all the time, isn't it? Meeting those deep desires with material gain. If I just accumulate enough stuff, the latest stuff, the better stuff, richer stuff, more expensive stuff, that's going to satisfy my soul. If I have enough status in the eyes of other people, if I get position, if I'm voted the most popular in my school, if I'm the president of the class, if I'm the head of the company, or at least my division, or the head of somebody somewhere, then it gives me some status. And that'll meet the deepest needs of my soul. Or if I just pursue pleasure, just give myself over to whatever I feel like and whatever makes me feel good for now, that's going to do it. It will satisfy the deepest part of my soul. Or if I just fill myself with entertainment, if I keep the TV on and loud and go from one theater to the next theater to the next theater and one sporting event to the next, I mean, I know from experience, you can watch college football all day long. And then your team loses in the last few seconds, and you feel empty. Or your team wins, and still, you need another win next week, don't you? So sometimes, I think we just fill ourselves with that stuff in front of our eyes to keep from thinking and feeling that hunger that's deep inside. And Isaiah says, "Why spoil your appetite for the good food with all this junk food?" It's like a little kid who wants to sit down and eat a big old bowl of Bluebell about a half hour before dinner. Any mother who lets their child do that needs to work at discipline a little bit, you know? Because that's not good. Because that kid's stomach is filled with all that sugar and fat. And then when you bring out the vegetables and you bring out the fruit and you bring out the meat, the stuff a child needs to grow, I'm not interested. I'm filled with all this other stuff. I think that works for our soul as well. Is a danger for our soul. Why spoil your appetite with such things when you know, when you really know, or you wouldn't be here, that only God can give you what you need the most? So Christ took this need, this human physical need for food and for drink, and He made it a sacrament. A sacrament, Augustine, I think, early church father, describes it best. He calls a sacrament a visible signs of invisible grace. That's what we have on these tables. A visible sign of bread and a cup. And it symbolizes Christ. Because as only good food and drink can really satisfy the body, only Christ can satisfy and nourish the soul. It's powerful symbolism. He provides the spiritual vitamins and nutrients for our souls. He said, I am the bread of life. Why is blessedness associated with hunger? Those who bring their hunger to Christ will be filled with His righteousness. It belongs to those and is available to those who are aware of their hunger, their lack, their need. We cannot labor for Christ's righteousness. Even if we wanted to work for it, we couldn't expend enough effort to obtain it. If you wanted to buy it, all the money in the world wouldn't be enough. The only way to get this righteousness of God is to receive it as a free gift from His hand. A gift of grace received by faith. Now here's one of the tricky things here about hunger and why it's a blessing. True righteousness, even when it's given to us by Christ, still leaves us craving more. I tried something new on my grill. I got a new grill this summer. It's a big old honker gas grill. I'm just having a ball trying all different kinds of stuff on it. And I heard you could do corn on the cob on the grill. So I got out there on the internet and I looked on all these different recipes. And so I went and got me some corn on the cob. And it was really a cool recipe to try. You take the corn on the cob and you kind of peel back the, the shuck stuff. And then you put the spices on the corn. Well, first you soak it for like 20 minutes or something in water. And then you pull it out, shake the water off, and you put pepper and salt. But then you put like oregano and nutmeg on the corn and, you know, some different stuff. I'd never tried that before. And then you wrap the shuck back up over the corn, tie it at the top, put it on your grill, and you grill it. I had no idea how it was going to turn out. And my grandkids are at my house. And so we had these big old great hamburgers that I grilled and corn on the cob. They loved it. It was so good. It was the most tasty corn. Maybe it's because I made it, but the boys loved it. So we just ate it up. It was so satisfying. It was filling. It was good. And I couldn't wait to make it again the next week. Do you see? It was good and satisfying. And left me looking forward to cooking it again. That's the way food works, isn't it? I think that's a similar way righteousness works. We get a taste of God's righteousness. And it's satisfying and it's good. There's no limit to God's righteousness, as if we could, exhaust it or accumulate all of it. He has this infinite capacity for righteousness. The hunger Jesus blesses is about returning again and again to partake of God, to be a part of Him. When He says, seek and you shall find, He means keep on seeking and finding. When He says, ask and it will be given to you, He means keep on asking. It's not like a one-time thing. When He says, take, eat, this is my body, He means keep on taking and eating. When He says, drink this cup, it's my blood. Drink it. Drink it, all of you. He means keep on drinking. And that symbolizes the filling of Christ in our lives. The nourishment that only He brings. So, as worshipers of an infinite God, we're always longing, always filled, always returning to worship for more, to prayer, to His Word, to the encouragement found in fellowship with one another. And we're always returning to His table because He always has more for us. And what is this righteousness that Christ wants us to hunger and thirst for? What is that anyway? Righteousness. Well, part of it means just to be right before God, to be no longer guilty before Him. And that's the gift of grace that we receive by faith, where we receive the not guilty, we receive Christ's righteousness given to us. But it also means living up to that grace, living well before God, living in a way that honors God. But that all seems complicated to me, so I try to simplify things. What does it mean to me? You know what righteousness means to me? What I hunger for, what I want. I want to be a better man. That's all it means to me. I want to be the man God created me to be. I'm not there yet. I want to be the man God sent Christ to die for, to redeem me. So, in a sense, I come to His table. When I come to this table, I'm acknowledging that within me is a deep desire to be a better person, for God to continue to fill me with His righteousness, to make me what He wants me to be, because I'm not there yet. If you believe that Christ has the power to declare you not guilty, not guilty before God, and if you believe that the Spirit of Christ is at work in you, sustaining you, nourishing your soul, making you a better person, then you can come and receive spiritual nourishment from His table. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to come to the table. God Almighty, we give thanks to You that You provide for our physical needs. You provide the clothing and shelter. You provide food for our bodies, good food. And we acknowledge that You provide for our souls, that Christ came, that we might be declared righteous by His blood, forgiven, not guilty. And now, Lord God, we trust You're at work in our hearts and our souls, not only sustaining and feeding, but growing us to be more like Christ. We come to the table today, acknowledging our hunger for You to give us righteousness. Fill us as we come. In Jesus' name.